Good afternoon. Welcome to Down on the Farm, coming to you from Historic Farm Days in Pinfield. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to have our first parade of Historic Farm Days. And the guy that's gearing his vocal cords up right now, Russell Boo, are you ready to go one, sir?
Oh, we hope so. I think we got enough to go for 4 days, I hope.
We've had a pretty good morning, haven't we?
Yes, it's really a good morning. A lot of stuff here, Dave. It's amazing how much stuff is here. And it's all different. I mean, you think they're all Olivers or all Internationals or John Deere's or Minneapolis's. They all got their own story to tell.
I haven't got over to see the David Bradley collection. Tell me about it.
They've been getting a lot of them in. A lot of them have been coming in this morning. So that really is quite the impressive thing, too. There's a lot of different things there. There's walk behinds, there's ride on, there's you name it. They got all that stuff, too. And they got their own story to tell on every one of them, really.
You think of the big names, John Deere, Oliver, but then you think about Cockshut. A lot of people didn't have a Cockshut tractor.
Well, they was really popular in Indiana, Ohio. Not so much this way, but there were some around, a few, but not too much because there wasn't too many dealers. But the Farm Bureaus did that in North Dakota, Indiana, Ohio, that was part of the deal that they supported the Farm Bureau. And somehow Illinois didn't hook onto that somehow. And, you know, that Cockshut, that all went away about 1962. Anything that was Cockshut was basically brought up and went into the Oliver line.
So what was the feature that made that tractor really stand out?
Well, the live PTO. They were the very first one. Oliver had it the year after, but they had that live PTO, and they really sold a lot of them on balers and things like that with that live PTO. You could push in the clutch, and you wouldn't go, but the baler would still be running, or the corn picker, or anything that you was pulling like that.
And how many models did they have back then?
The main models was the 30, the 40, and the 50. Like 48 to 52, that was 53, that was really their models right there. And then they had a little 20 that I'd love to have. The 50 was the biggest model, and they just was a really good tractor. It's around here, we didn't have too many dealers.
You don't see a lot of them around here, that's why I'm asking you about it.
Well, and then some of them that you might see, it might say Cockshut on it, but some of them, the later ones, it's the very same thing as an Oliver. It's just different color.
I was getting ready to ask you, what was the standard color for a Cockshut?
Sumac red, and I'm trying to think what the white color is, but there's two colors on that, and they was sharp looking too. And the main thing, when White Motor Company bought them in 1962, the main thing they really got was the combine plant, because the combine was really a very good combine back in the day. And they had a good combine, and Oliver wasn't quite as good, I guess. And so they kept the combine line and the combine plant, and they kept building them, and that was really a good deal.
I bet we'll see some in the parade today.
There is a Cockshut pull-type combine here that I've never seen, and it is one of a kind the way it looks to me. Original, you know, those things got to be 50, 60 years old at least, probably 60 anyway. You know, for something like that to be around yet today, it had to be in a shed somewhere.
So you're telling me that you don't have a Cockshut in the Boer collection?
Yes, I do. I got a Cockshut 40. I do have one.
You just wanted the 20.
I want a 20, yeah, because they're just a cute little tractor, about like an Oliver Super 55 or a 440. That Oliver 440, that's a neat little tractor, too. Same kind of thing.
Talk about those Olivers. We were talking about them earlier this morning. Our neighbor guy, he had the 88, and man, he used that thing on everything.
Oh, you would, and they was just so smooth running, too. That six-cylinder had a six-cylinder motor in them, and the Cockshuts did, too. Now, the Cockshut 30 had a four-cylinder, but the 40s and 50, they had a six-cylinder. That was a Buddha. Oliver's, that was a Waukesha. So they was a different motor, but they both really sounded good and just nice, smooth running tractors.
It was hard for us to see all these tractors going away as we headed into the 60s and 70s. I mean, having all those brands, they were very diversified back then. It was kind of cool.
Oh, it was. You know, every dealer had its own thing, really. The trouble with some of the Cockshuts, that was such a good rear end. A lot of the tractor pullers made a modified tractor out of them Cockshut rear ends, because that was such a good rear end. They had two bearings around by the bull gear, and that nobody else had that, so that's what they wanted, and it was going to live going down the track.
Tell us how the parade typically operates.
Well, we just start up down in the bottom there, east side, and just kind of line up and just kind of come through. And if you bring a tractor, come through the parade. And we talk about it, and people like to see them come through the parade because they can see them sitting there. But then when they hear them run and moving around and something different, why, oh, yeah, that's how that thing works or how it sounds. Because like I say, there's some of the Olivers and stuff. They got the Detroit in them, and some got the Cat V8 in them. And, you know, so like I say, there's just all the different sounds and smells of all these tractors.
I'll tell you, folks, that all of the participants fill out a little entry card that tells the year, the make, the model, which, by the way, Russell wouldn't need. He just needs the owner's name. You'd have them all memorized.
Well, tell me where you're from, too.
But it's cool because, you know, we see people from all over for this parade. I mean, each day there's different people participating.
Well, when I see these tags on here, there's a lot of people that brought a lot of stuff from a long ways away again, and that's really neat to see because they all got some really neat stuff that it's really good to see.
How many years has Historic Farm Days been going on now?
Well, the I&I Club started 49 years ago, and so next year we'll have our 50th anniversary, and next year will be the 150th anniversary of Penfield, so we get to have a good celebration. We'll have a big birthday cake.
And when did it move here?
1987. We had stuff out here in 87, 88. And then because we was up at the Forest Preserve, we was up there till 96. We had our first show here in 96. And because they was working on the road out there, nobody could have got to it. So the road was under full construction, which was fine, but it was going to make it hard for us. So we moved here in about 2 weeks before the show and had our show here.
And I know the first couple of years I came to the show, it was taking up a fraction of what it does now.
Yeah, like I say, when we first got here, we had the PIA building, Penfield Improvement Association building, and then that burned down a couple of years later, and so then we had to build a new building, and then we had that and the old Penfield School. So that was our two buildings, and we've just kept growing since then.
As I recall, I believe the track was about right in front of where the registration building is now.
It was right there on the north end of the grounds. That's where we used to pull. And then we kind of worked on this. And if you see a picture where the track is now, what we did, we moved a lot of dirt, and we got good dirt for a track. So it takes power to go down that track.
Speaking of power, we got something going by right now. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, we've got the little kids in the train. Look at there. And we got all the colors involved. We should be 8 cars on there because we feature 8 different brands, and we got one for each brand so somebody can get in their favorite color.
And all of that was homemade?
All homemade, yes it was. It's quite the little train. You know, maybe we get Chad in one of them things yet. What do you think? We kind of take a shoehorn and get him in there.
Probably riding wheelies if he sits in one of them.
Well, that or flatten the tires, one or the other.
This is the first day of this 4-day event. Come on out and watch the parade at 1:00 today. And if you can't make it out today, the gates will open bright and early tomorrow at 7:00. We got golf carts to rent, so you don't have to worry about that. And Russell, we can't forget the field demonstrations.
That's right. We'll be doing them, you know, as much as we can. The way it looks right now, everything's in real good shape to go. And so we got a combine, and we got to take the binder out there and make some more bundles because we got bundles to go through the thrasher machine. We'll take combine out there to combine the wheat. Once we get the wheat done, then we can go out there and plow and disc and play with that kind of stuff, too. So we get to do a little bit of everything.
Fun stuff.
Fun stuff. This isn't serious farming. This is fun farming.
And I love it when the young people get to see this and their eyes are as big as golf balls and they see how farming used to be done.
Well, it is. You know, and then if you see the corn sheller going back there or the thrasher machine, either one, that was the big day of the farm. You know, if you're going to shell the crib out that day, that was quite the deal. And it was always a good thing about noontime. You had the best meal you could ever have. You know, everybody was in competition to have the best meal you could. And by golly, they made sure they had it, too.
We brought Purple Power here this year.
Yeah, we got Purple Power over there, so it should be ready to go. And if they don't treat it too bad, it should make it through another year.
Sounds good. Well, Russ, I'll let you go. We're just moments away from getting the parade started here, folks. Come on out to Historic Farm Days just east of Rantoul on 136, about 11 miles east. $10 to get in, but we encourage you to get that 4-day pass for only $20 because it's hard to see in one day, isn't it?
That's right. I don't know if I could see. I've seen some, and I was here when we was unloading a lot of this stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to see.
Thanks for joining us, Russell.
Thank you for having us, Dave, and we appreciate you guys and getting the word out to everybody.
You got it. That's going to wrap up Down on the Farm. Coming up next, Greg Soyer will have our weather forecast. We'll see what we have in store on Ileana's Farm Choice, WITY.